This podcast brought to you by the English Department at Florida State University.
Nick Sturm, who's going to be reading poetry, and we have Stephen Perez introducing him. So let's give Nick Sturm a big round of applause.
Hey, everyone. Wow, there is a lot of people here. I want to start off this whole thing by saying that Nick knows full well that I hate doing introductions and that they're the worst. But he's a great friend of mine, so I'm here. And I am honestly very honored to introduce him. But nonetheless, it's going to be short. Nick Sturm is a poet. I met Nick one night when I was reading at a monthly local art, music, and literary showcase called Trading Cards. After I read, he came up, introduced himself, and handed me this like ripped piece of paper with just a book he thought I would like. I don't know if like his sneaky ass like knew that I was a huge fan of his, but I think he figured it out afterwards. I saw him read actually here a couple years ago, and he prefaced a poem with like skateboarding and how that like really nurtured his upbringing and really came into play into his work. And I was just like immediately stoked. I mean, that's like, as a skateboarder, like someone who's been skating more than half my life, like to see that there's a poet who skates is huge. It's not like a common thing, at least that I knew of. But so after he gave me that like poetic fodder, I just like made sure to keep in contact, and you know, we eventually became really great friends. I don't like doing this, Nick. You know I don't like doing this. But I wouldn't do it for anyone else. I really do value our friendship, and whether he knows this or not, he's become like a really great mentor for mine. He's pushed me a lot in my own writing, and that's like kind of the thing about Nick is that I don't think he realizes how much he does for people around him. I've sat in classes, you know, he really cares about nurturing like writers and people in general. It's weird because like even just like in casual conversations with him, I learn constantly, like just about poetry amongst other things. His language, the inherent love he has for poetry, it's all like these motivators. Like even just like texts, like there's so many texts I've gotten from him that are better poems than I'll ever write. It's insane. It's fucked. I'm not hating this any less, Nick. I don't like this right now. He knows. He's looking at me. He's like, I know. No, but the reason I'm so against these things is because I really do feel that an artist's work should speak for itself. I mean, I joke, obviously, but like I do feel that way. I feel like I truly do. An artist's work stands alone. And Nick's work does that. It does prove itself. Nick's mouth will constitute your reason to stay and listen. Nick's hair is present. Nick, thank you for teaching me, being on my team, reading and sharing all that is bad and all that is not bad. Nick, whenever I write now, I think about the choices I'm making. You said to me, dead ass, you looked me in the eyes and said, what are the choices? And that's rattled me ever since. And it's kept me writing. So I want to say, Nick, thank you. Nick Sturm is the author of How We Light from Hangman Books, as well as a number of chapbooks, including I Was Not Even Born via Coconut Breasts with Wendy Hsu, and both Labor Day via Forklift, Ohio, and Nancy and the Dutch via Nap with Carrie Lorig. Nick's poems have appeared in Black Warrior, Typo, Penn, Six Finch, and other places. His next book, Another Mona Bone Jack On, is currently being written. Everyone, Nick Sturm.
I'm also stoked. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen's going to stay up here with me for a second and help me read the first piece. just like Jesse, this is also my last time standing up here, which is rad. I'm just going to keep using the skateboarder vocabulary. It's also how I just like talk like this when I teach too, so it's fine. Thank you all for being here, and I'll read about three pieces, and it'll take just a little bit over a half hour. The first piece that Stephen and I are going to read from is called Labor Day, and Labor Day is this coming week, and we all get Monday off because of it, so woo! And my partner and I, Carrie Lorig, wrote this book together, Labor Day. It's a long poem, and we wrote it together because these poets, Ted Berrigan and Ann Waldman, had written a poem in the early 1970s called Memorial Day. And this poem by Berrigan and Waldman was this kind of like foundational text for our relationship. And we wanted to write in homage to it and in the path of its ghost. And so we decided for their Memorial Day, we'll write our Labor Day. So where their poem is about death and thinking about death, our poem is about work and what's fucked up about work, which is might be everything. And we'll just read from part of it. This part of the poem is called The Corpse Lobby. The armored car cuts off the ambulance packed with landfills. Our hair smelled like bullets that were licked like stamps. Everyone would have to work overtime when the oceans rose. The fantasy already had our schedules posted. We would be transferred to Janice's and then transferred to other Janice's in Indiana. The correct time came all over us in the cheap seats. We planned on staring back in wonder, drenched in palm olive and adjunct flowers. We planned on beating the shit out of traffic. I can taste the liquor in Congress's gut. They are holding a piece of cake in their lap, or just a piece in general, and cooking fountain pens on the stove like they were hamburgers. Their interns can't see the billboards anymore. Too many cataracts, too many banks, too many banks, too many bailouts for clouds, too many loans for making threats on the soft failure in thickets, my eyelashes, my gem slashes, my margins of error, force wearing, my retirement plans wear lighter fluid, sooner or later, fired.
Services are closer to you in Synecdoche. Philip C. Hoffman is not dead.
The obsessive, irreducible work of brushing out into the world.
Fires along the border, blood arms, sunken jet skis, holiday bonuses that mean you can go to Yellowstone, tissue paper out of a cannon.
A geyser is a perfect place to put a thank you card. A witch walks out of the woods. She is fired.
I bought part of the moon to frame my horsepower in.
I was fired.
I spoke with a voice at the free sample table.
Fired.
I felt naked and safe.
Fired.
I made art that went under.
Fired.
I ate hummus.
Fired.
I put hummus on the security guard escorting me out.
He was fired.
I built the ripped bones of a monument. The security guard was my muse. We cut the grass into a ruin burning alive. Pete Seeger was singing, "Where have all the flowers gone?"
He got fired.
And I got fired.
And I got fired.
And I got fired. We got fired for fucking fingerprints on each other. I took stock in thinking.
It got me fired.
So I can increase after I die, after I die, after I die, after I die, after I die.
Fired.
I loved to refer to my own experience.
Fired.
A great deal of loss asks if it can get a reference.
Fired.
Someone said, "Cool it on the Kesha."
Everyone is fired. We all hold hands on the bus. When it goes over the cliff, we know what to expect. Last night I dreamt I lived with Prince in New York City. A hurricane is coming, but Prince remains calm. Prince plays records and speaks softly. 10 million albums sold, he whispers, flipping the records like money, like flowers. I'm looking for a gun. I'm trying to prepare. I do not find a gun, only fake guns, dozens of fake guns, where I live in New York City with Prince. Speaking softly, like, what is a crisis? What does it mean to prepare for the world to change you like money, like flowers? Prince whispering, I don't want to die. I want to dance my life away in the threat of the world's glittering end. I'm dreaming I live with Prince in the illegible forms of another world. This world, I keep repeating that word. I'm 28, okay, just fuck yourself in. These last two poems are both long poems. And this first one has these double origins. The first origin is that I was in the Stacks in Strozier, and I was looking for a book, and I knew where the book was. And you look down the long aisles in Strozier, and at the end of the aisle where my book was, there was a girl standing there right where my book was. And like, you can't just like lurk up on somebody in the Stacks. So I like, and so I went to the next aisle over to like chill and be farther away and wait. But then like, that's weird, you know? And like, I'm so like, there's like an anxiety circle that's forming. And so in order to like compensate and feel like I'm not lurking now, I take a book off the shelf randomly to appear as if this is the book I'm looking for. And I open it, and it happens to be a critical book about Wallace Stevens, the modernist poet Wallace Stevens. And I immediately misread a title of one of his poems, and I misread it as Language with Boat. And I immediately was like, fuck, that's okay. That'll be the name of a poem. And I was like, and I looked back at it, I was like, oh man, I misread that. But the mistake was correct. And I don't even remember what book I was there to check out. The other origin for this poem is that some of you know the bar St. Mike's over here on Gaines. And you might know that in one of the bathrooms, it says on the wall, you should read Harmonium. And Harmonium is the first book by Wallace Stevens in 1923, one of the most like well-known books of modernism. And I was like, who wrote that on the wall in St. Mike's? Like, who did that? Has anyone else seen this? Thank you. Jeff, you got it. I'm like, did you write it, Jeff? Okay. And I was like, okay, one, this is really amazing. And, but then I immediately decided to hate it. Because you don't have to be told. That phrase, you should read Harmonium, repeats throughout the poem. Was that a laugh? It's not even funny yet. It begins with an epigraph from Winnie the Pooh. Now then, Pooh, said Christopher Robin, where's your boat? I ought to say, explained Pooh, as they walked down to the shore of the island, that it isn't just an ordinary sort of boat. Sometimes it's a boat, and sometimes it's more of an accident. It all depends. Depends on what? On whether I'm on the top of it or underneath it. Language with Boat. You should read Harmonium. No, Let me change your mind, I say, to the male wall in the bar, Florida body, I've got a shrine to crush. Library injury, I'm not that glowing, capable student with strong words at ends of lines, I'm not. Then who are you? I'm a goth beach ball, I'm nervous prominence, red-haired, so critical, and underneath it, I'm broke, you stupid motherfucker, it's spring in this book. You should read Harmonium. No, the states won't allow it. Oh, but you should. Who is saying I should? It's the administration behind the bougainvilleas. That sounds a blue velvety smear. Too many colors, syllables, to refuse to be beautiful. Do I refuse that? Yeah, with a dolphin in my woods. What are you under? I'm under the states in Florida with a dolphin in my woods, not reading, studying with some umber mothish hate, how to begin not to die under the administration. No, let me change your mind. You should read Harmonium. No, I dream of homelessness, blood, closed captioning, friends. I forget my shoes and walk in a parking lot. I'm dead. Does every line end with a strong word? No. What do you mean, no? I mean, they're all strong words. Sunshine, champagne, theory, fucking, what I don't know to love in the dream. I put all this in my book. I mean, beautiful is voracious, not conscious, written choices, but belligerent confetti to describe debt. I'm in the real parking lot. I buy a Swiffer duster, a papaya. A growling black amulet is my debt to you. My love is doomed, page on page, an unfinished, verdant phrase. You should read Harmonium. No, I will not rely only on the words, but faithful, I will rely only on you. Flawed on the lawn, those words, little lime tree weather. We love repulsive lyric aberrations, our love in abnormal ranges. I'm not capable student, necessary angel, gorgeous queen, marmot. What am I saying? I'm saying I'm studying you. Pain, its evocation, not ours, but sounds, true, at the nape of the neck, mortal, personal, with hair pulled back. That's the pain. Under it, being, where, cleaving, negative, rainbows, irreducible, shine, honey baby, need another cup of coffee, and radiant, not brilliant, we ride our sound, going on for thousands of pages. That was an example of imagination. You should read Harmonium. No, I'm listening to Cat Stevens, not Wallace. I think I see the light coming through me, too shackled to see. Those are from different songs, but I heard them together. You should read Harmonium. No, I'm dead, not in harmony with men, unambiguously, which is what they sing to me, only seeming to grieve when they lose everything. When is that? I'm being followed by a moon shadow. No, it's time to be relentless, under it, near and against, a mammal, comma, an unstated pleasure. What are you under? I'm underneath, skinning his opulent rooms for music, to betray big words, clever noises, not reading, studying, against an anecdote of men by the thousand. Oh, Florida, under the states, no genius underneath, violent boat, violet shade. Did you hear about the poetry salary cap increase? Yeah, I'm dead. Can you explain that? No, I live it clearly as you do, inlaid in the book, not me, inverted, foaming roses. You should read Harmonium. No, my disillusionment comes in broad daylight, dear Wallace, dear fuckface. I don't just want to live, and I don't care if that sounds ignoble. You should read Harmonium. No, too many crazy white people nowadays, Stephen says. Don't want to be a part of that. But people need people, says a book I rip apart. Who are people? The ones under the states, the ones pedal-pissing gut levels in hard light, ones who bends my ritual edges, who awkward grace thickens sound by sound. I'm saying life is the administration's grave. Are we people? You're not people. Yes, we are. Dolphins in woods, the people of the sexy window night. But who wants to be rightly? Not in an old chaos of the sun. No one, unless you're a moaning, prickish piece of life insurance. Now I'm being bitchy. So let me be a little more extravagantly uneasy. I'm a mystical, whoring, fleeting body up in the air against all people. You should read Harmonium. No, I can't tell stories. I am identified against a soft blue background, crispy Costco prawns, impersonality, all those shitty Mel Gibson movies. It's nice to make a little noise despite a few things. So why do I cry watching Braveheart? And do you remember that movie Forever Young, where Mel Gibson is cryogenically frozen like Walt Whitman, Disney, who knows the difference? I'm a star member, no mere star, and buy all the fruit I bodily can, but anyway, I cry watching Braveheart. All the holy tyrannical air pressed in one man's hair. They paint themselves blue banshees and show their dicks to kings. So I cry, overmatched and betrayed in the wicked, gutted dawn. Public, unmarvelous, with a papaya. That's not freedom, not an accident. I'm underneath ideas, feeling it. You should read Harmonium. No, my malice speaks in amulets, jade mostly, static, under the states at the bar, Florida body. Kings, tell me what to read, or mostly fuck off in breezy khakis. I'm under that. The source of gentleness and cruelty and work. Rip, not rid, the town of evil. No, I think that's right. I'm dead. In the living boat, with a hectic vocabulary, umber mothish hate, symptoms in condos, breezy dudes, the allergic buzz of being administered. What are you under? I'm under the states, under toppled stateless breach. I kiss songs under. You're still young. That's your fault. No, this isn't a Cat Stevens song. It's three nights' work, dreaming of the book. Voices, chords, a grace stretched, greenly feeling. Whose voice? You don't get voice. These voices isn't voice. It's life, airing, in accident, in a nice, hopefully, flower. A love or stain reeling, writing where I have read. No, let me change your mind. You should read Harmonium. No, I trace the music. That's how I live. It's not popular, but is under the states to steal rosemary from the park, lines from the books composed to be no strong words at all, profaning the men. No, where to live except to be hateful, perverse, indignant, wicked, and because of it, to be actually a harmony and praise of unremorseful healers, the dead, not him, the male wall in the bar, Florida body. Should I let up? Should I let up on Stevens, Walt Whitman, Disney? Should I let up on me? Who knows the difference? No, I should pay the rent and get broke, fall out in the worded air. I open the book randomly to the page after Alice, and unfix my hair. Alimentary canal, alimony, aliped, aliphatic, Allison, alive, alkaline, all, coral, grit. I'm dead. Moving care simple can be read. That's my dream. A secret of red books, not secretive, but bound. Sour, fevered clouds in bar, Florida body. The design of this ship is no distinctions. I insist. You should read Harmonium. No, I'm desolate and making guacamole with you under a black amulet. Violent boat, violet shade. The states, the pain of people imagining what else imagination looks like out from under in a dream, not reading, studying an intricate ship so undisciplined that we live. This is the last poem. It also has a story, which is that I grew up not knowing who my mother was. And so I was raised by my father and my stepmother, who became my stepmother when I was a baby. So I had no relationship at all with my mother. And when I was 18 years old, my dad gave me a box of documents. They were everything. There was everything related to the custody battle for me when I was 3 years old. And so this poem adopts those documents. It's also about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And the character Willow, specifically, who's played by the actress Allison Hannigan. And I always really liked Willow, one, because she has red hair. And that was the thing about my my parents. My dad has black hair, and my stepmother has blonde hair. And I had very red hair when I was a child. And so we would interact with other adults when I was very young. And they would say, "Where'd you get that red hair, Nick?" And even before I knew what that really meant, like about like not knowing who you belong to in a certain sense, that like marked, I understood that marked me in a particular way. And if you've seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which like fuck you if you haven't, you know that Willow's hair is red and she's magic, right? I mean, that's what the poems are. And then her hair changes when she becomes evil. And that seemed significant to me. It's named after a poem by Alice Notley, who was visiting me in dreams at the time. Alice Notley has a poem called Alice Ordered Me to Be Made. So this poem is called Alice and Hannigan Ordered Me to Be Made. Allison, bitter letter, my magic. I'm not exactly in love with how this is turning out. I look distracted, too mellow, entirely normal. I look calm, adjusted, heavy with whimsy, kingly iconography dripping from me. Don't you hate that when this happens, turning out Allison? Paint me bowing down to flowers, narcissist, or some other repeating grace worth being bitchy about, like Williams undoing the world in his cleaving variable beginning. Did I turn out like that? His raging liquid music edged so hard in the present. Rich in savagery, he says at the end of Spring and All. When I read that book, I imagine Williams is Tom Waits and T.S. Eliot is the Eagles. The former's monstrous delight leering against the latter's breezy, symptomatic melodies, both disastrously male, but Waits feels it. Allison, do I look like that? At Tom Waits's 2011 induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Neil Young stands at the podium like a gorgeous, dirty goat and says, "This next man is indescribable. And I'm here to describe him. This man is a great. He's sort of a performer, singer, actor, magician, spirit guide, changeling. And I've seen him standing in a bunch of dust. And I thought I saw, you know, sparkling things coming off of him. And then I looked at him while he was singing, and I said, is my vision going? I'm seeing three, maybe four people up there now, and they're all seeming to be waiting for the other one to finish so that they can come in. And this other one would just whistle at me, and then one would speak in a kind of speaking in tongues kind of voice, and then the eagles covered it. Oh my God, Allison, will you paint me like that? Gnawed on, split by dreams. I look like Rack, you remember, the warlock magic dealer in Buffy who told Willow, you taste like strawberries before your and Amy's demonic orgasmic trip. Your inverted surrealistic pillow feeds your head, feed your pretty red head. But is that me saying that about you? Or is that my portrait? In season 6, episode 22, Grave, I look like the grave.